This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to fabulous and really interesting women about a variety of subjects. I'm Ivana O'Brien and my lovely co-presenter today is Mandy Diney. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, Ivana. Yesterday, we have three guests in the studio to talk about well-being, mindfulness, anti-aging facials and fiction writing. I think that sounds really interesting. So if you'd like to join in, anybody out there with any questions or comments, do email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we would really love to hear from you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mandy. So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Loretta Cundy from Mad About My Life, a tailored lifestyle and personal development coaching service. That's a mouthful. And Sam, I apologise, Sam, if I mispronounce this, but Weerasinghe from Sam Mantra, a wellbeing mindfulness practice. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having us on the show.
You're more than welcome. So how did you both meet? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I met Loretta through my sort of wellbeing practice that I set up at the Middleston Garden in Cobham. I've been working with various therapists and I came across Loretta and we were looking at putting a program together. She's a coaching psychologist and I'm a mindfulness, and it just made sense to try and sort of combine our respective practices together for a new program which we're doing is mindful parenting.
Yeah, they fit very well alongside each other. The mindfulness underpins the coaching very well, and we thought that joining forces would be really good, and it would be a good offering with the program that we were creating.
And at the moment, obviously, mental health is a really big thing, isn't
Huge,
it?
Huge,
so,
yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
So
it's
what
mental
you're
health.
Offering...
Yeah, sorry, it's Mental Health Awareness Week.
It is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what you're offering is really, really needed, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are the stats on that? I heard it was something like 1 in 4 people will suffer at some stage in their life from a mental health illness.
Yeah, I think that's actually increased now. It's probably 1 in 5, 1 in 6. And mental health, particularly with the youngsters now, is, you know, it's quite prevalent. So 3 children in every classroom have some form of mental health issues.
That terrifies me. I mean, I'm a mother myself. But how do you present that to the parents, and how do you get them to come to your events or seminars? How does that work?
So I think we come from the point of view of prevention, really. From a coaching point of view, it's all really about prevention. So I think Sam and I are very much on the mindset of trying to give everyone tools so that they can put these things in place before it gets to the point of too much stress, because the world and society that we live in nowadays is very pressurized, and it's about creating awareness around that and giving tools to the parents so that they can support themselves but also support their children going forward, really.
Yeah. So what are the main issues that you find the biggest issues at the moment with a certain age group, or is it teenagers mostly?
No, it's not a certain age group. I think we get quite a mix. With our program, we make sure it's for everybody. You know, it's for all age groups, so from youngsters right through to teens. And we cover, you know, issues that are with teenagers, like sleep and sleep hygiene we go through. But I think just generally parents are coming to us because they're not coping in the stressful environment we're in, and their children are not coping in the environment. So as Loretta said, we work with the parent first, support the parent, give them the coping skills and strategies that they then can support their child at home.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
I mean, do you think that social media is playing a big part in relation to what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's a whole societal shift that's taking place. I think it has a lot to do with it. I think that basically the ground has changed. You know, the way that we maybe grew up is very different to the way that our children are growing up nowadays. They're exposed to a lot more. They have a lot more pressures, I think. And I think things are on show constantly, and they're on show constantly, and so I think social media probably does have a big role to play in it, definitely.
Yeah, we cover it on the course. One of the weeks we do look at social media,
which leads me nicely into our next question. So tell us about the course that you're running.
Okay, it's a 6-week course. We did start having a 4-week course, but we found there was a more demand for more support and coping skills that we go through. So we look at understanding the stress response, you know, what stress is with the parents so they can understand it. We then look at sort of helpful coping strategies, which Loretta brings in with her cognitive tools. And then we do that, underpin it with mindfulness. So I do the mindfulness practice, so we do breath work practices, we do meditation, and we try and bring it into their everyday life. So they're taking home skills that they can support themselves and their children. So
Sam, for the listeners that haven't heard of mindfulness, I'm sure they don't exist because everyone must have heard of it by now, can you just explain what that is?
Yeah, well, mindfulness is all about paying attention. Yeah, it's being in the here and now and being present. You know, we live our lives on this autopilot, I call it, what we call in mindfulness, when, you know, we're in our heads, you know, we're not in our bodies, and there's, you know, we're just going day to day dealing with stress. When you step away from that and actually you come into the present moment and you support yourself, you can actually cope a lot better with stress. Mm-hmm. And what we teach with the mindfulness is that you become more resilient to stress, you know, mm-hmm. that you're not sort of reacting all the time. So doing meditation practices and just using your breath is there to support you. And we do mindful movement as well, so it's like a gentle yoga.
Because contrary to popular belief, people assume when they're daydreaming, it's usually about happy things. But actually, on the whole, when you're doing that, you're going back to a negative thing, aren't you? Which is why it's so important to bring yourself back to the present.
Yeah. So it's ruminating. So people ruminate in the past and the future.
And I guess that's where what I do fits quite well underneath that, because I draw from cognitive behavioral therapy, which has been adapted for coaching practices. And basically what it does is it helps people understand what thinking they're engaging in, but it gives them proper practical tools to be able to start challenging that thinking, so that they're not ruminating, so that they have some control back, and they don't have to go down a path where their thinking's leading them into a stressful situation.
I think the CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is so valuable. Have you seen teenagers changing the way they thought, their thoughts process being changed by
Most definitely. I think I see, you know, with the clients that I work with, I see a massive change in all of them, really. And I think what's really lovely is our program doesn't just offer cognitive behavioral therapies. It draws on a range of techniques. So they have, we kind of go for a belts and braces approach. So that we're kind of coming from a load of different points of view, so that they have lots of different things to implement and work with. Because I think one strategy might not work for one person, but it definitely can work for another. So exposing them to a range is really helpful, I think.
So when you're helping the parents, you're teaching them on a individual basis, is that right?
No, not in the program that we run. It's a workshop, so there's a number of ladies there. We try and keep it down to 12 because we'd like it to be quite intimate. But because of the number, we're able to get involved with them, and I'm able to give them individual one-on-one time, not quite in the same way as it would be on a one-to-one coaching basis. But there's enough time and space for them to learn the techniques properly.
Fantastic.
And the six-week course allows them to sort of start to understand what mindfulness is about with a practice. So we do home practice with them, and it's very much each week is reflecting on their home practice, it's reflecting on their learning. And then we allow them to sort of develop. So at the end of the 6 weeks, we do this personal review goal, when we look at where they go past the program and what they've learned. So it's a very much a practical course to support them.
So Sam, how is the course structured then? Is it sort of 2 hours once a week, and then
It's 6 weeks, 2 hours a week, and within that 2 hours, Loretta and I split up, and we do sort of exercises with them. You know, we'll get them to engage with us. They might do some breath work exercises, some meditation, and then we set them some home practice, which we reflect the following week, and we just run this rolling six-week program with a review at the end. They get a lovely workbook. So we've worked really hard, haven't we, Loretta?
Yes, we have.
Putting a workbook of tools together so that they can do exercises with their children, for example. So for mindfulness, you know, we give them the tools in the class, but then I'll give them tools to take home to do with their children. And then we get the reflection back, which is quite
nice. That's great. Yeah. Taking it away, it's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And do you tackle the other elements, like, you know, obviously mind, body and spirit as well? Do you tackle the kind of the eating habits and all that
sort
of stuff?
Yes, completely. So we have a week where we look at self-care practices, and we talk about healthy eating, and we talk about I talk very much about non-negotiables and taking care of the self, and really we talk about role modelling. So when you look after yourself, you role model to your family, that it's actually really good and important to look after yourself as a family unit as well. We look at boundary setting, which is really important, and how to boundary set. We look at assertiveness communication. So there's a lot of different elements that come into it as a whole, you know, mind, body and soul.
So in relation to boundaries, I know that often parents think that their children don't want boundaries, but children do want the boundaries.
Definitely, 100%.
You know, that's how they know that they're loved.
This is exactly it. And that's one of the things that I talk about. You know, I teach. There's an educational element to what we do as well. So it's about teaching the people on the course why boundaries are important and what happens if boundaries aren't in place. Mm. But also it's about managing boundaries, because the boundaries that you set for someone that's 3 years old needs to shift and change as a child develops and becomes a teenager.
Anyone with a parent of a teenager knows
yes.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And it's about how
to manage that, right?
Yeah, it's not easy.
So obviously the different age groups, and I can think of toddlers and teenagers, but there's that bit in the middle too. Which is the most difficult age group, do you think, as far as parents are concerned, or do they all bring their own?
No, I don't think there's any particular age group, do you?
I think they all bring their own element, really, because I think, you know, you have the terrible twos, and you have you then have puberty onset, and then you have full-blown teenage years. And I think what we try to do is explain to the parents what's going on for the child so that they have that understanding, and therefore it makes managing the situation so much easier, because I think there's so many changes that happen within the brain, the hormonal side of things throughout the child's life, you know, whether how much sleep the child might need, etc. And I think having that insight is quite helpful for the parent to be able to understand what's going on.
So what would you say, obviously, thinking about some of the things you offer, I noticed that you offer the bikini program. I'm intrigued by that.
Oh, that's the rest of the program. That's not mine.
So that's the Mad About My Life aspect of things. And basically what that stemmed from, it was the play on bikini body. It was about bikini mind. And the way that we see it is that everyone has the ability to have a bikini mind. It's about seeing yourself as beautiful. So it's about creating that inner confidence, really. And I think with that particular program, we look at helping people regain their relationship with food as a whole, and regain their relationship with themselves and their self-worth and their inner confidence and inner beauty, really. And it's all about that relationship with self.
Yeah. Oh. Can you share with us some success stories that you've had? I'm sure you come across quite a few people you've both met, either individually or together, that have helped.
Yeah, I mean, I run sort of mindfulness programs for adults outside of the parenting program. And, you know, the key thing I see with people coming in highly stressed, and not being able to manage their stress and not understanding, you know, why they feel that way. So when they go on the six-week course or an eight-week course, it just, you know, just going back to basics and just teaching them, you know, the neuroscience of the brain, what is a stress response, how natural it is, and it, you know, it's quite safe, because there's so much anxiety around, you know, I'm feeling this way and I can't cope with life. And then coming through and doing the mindfulness practice, it's lovely to see at the end, when I've gone through an end of a six-week, eight-week course, someone come back to me and saying, you know, it's really made a difference. I've really been able to appreciate things more. I'm more kinder to myself, because we teach a lot of self-compassion in mindfulness, and gratitude. So it's nice to see people then go on their own personal journey.
No, that sounds really good. And do you find with your pupils, they're not pupils, are they? But with your parents, do you find that they can then go on and they can help with their own children? Because we all want to be better parents, don't we?
Yeah.
We all want to do the very best for our children without being too much of a helicopter parent. So how do you strike that balance, I guess?
It's interesting you said helicopter parents. Yeah. So that's the sort of analogy is about, you know, we're leading this stressful generation of parents, and that we've protected them too much over the years, so they're less resilient to stress. So helicopter parenting, we talk about that on the course.
Oh, good.
And we talk about them, you know, that this is not about perfect parenting.
Mm.
And that's something we're very clear on, aren't we, at
very,
the start?
Very, very much so. And I think, as you touched upon a moment ago, it very much is something that is integrated. All these skills and strategies is integrated into the individual so that they can go into their family. And as a result, it has a ripple effect out into the family.
Mm.
So they'll be teaching these skills to their children, and their children will then be teaching that into their friends and take that on further into their own lives, really, is what we're trying to achieve through this course.
It's tools for them to take home and to use, and that's why it's a very practical course.
It's much more powerful when you teach them to teach themselves.
Very much.
It's the only way it works, really.
Exactly. So where would you like to take it moving forward? What's your vision? Ooh.
Well, we've really enjoyed the process so far, haven't we? We've run a few courses now, and we just presented actually at a conference on Saturday, a Company of Mums conference, to try and expand, you know, this awareness. We both feel very passionate about reducing stress, stress in family life, stress in individuals, and just making a difference. So we just want to expand and keep working on the programme.
And for me personally, I've just applied to do a PhD actually within coaching, and this might be one of the areas that I look to research to find out what impact it's having, very much from a preventative sort of position, you know, applying this information, how can it lead on to stop anxiety and depression and issues happening in our children.
I mean, I work in schools as well, and I just think for me, I'm seeing younger and younger young people suffering from stress and anxiety. It's a big, big problem in schools.
Massively.
I think bigger than the government even realises. For me, it'd be great to have these sort of programmes as a regular thing in schools, if they could fund it, if they could find the money to run
it. Well, there is a program called Mindfulness in Schools Project, and I've just recently trained, and it's called the DOT B program, which means stop, breathe. And it's for, you know, there's a DOT pause, which is 7 to 11 year olds, and then there's the DOT B, which is 11 to 18 year olds. But it just comes down to funding. I mean, I've just recently trained, and I want to do more in schools because I feel very passionate about that teenage age group. But it's quite difficult because it's not the funding there. So they might do a wellness day, they might do a mindfulness day, but you really need to ingrain it into a 6, 8-week, 10-week program.
Well, Theresa May has promised to put a lot more into mental health, hasn't she? So hopefully.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So ladies, we usually ask for some advice or top tips for listeners. So for listeners listening out there that are thinking about, you know, maybe embracing mindfulness or how to cope with or deal with stress or anxiety, what would you sort of recommend they did?
Well, I think for me, it was, just suddenly have a look out there, what's out there for mindfulness in their area, you know, maybe a taster course they could try and go along to. I mean, I think the apps are very good, you know, there's apps out there like Headspace and Calm, but I think if you actually try to go to find out where your nearest, you know, wellbeing centre is that's running a mindfulness course or running a taster session, and that's what I run down at the Medicine Garden, that's the best way to start, because then that person will put you on to, you know, more research and more, you know, tools that you can use to start bringing mindfulness into your life.
And I think from my point of view, it's very much about looking after the self. So if you are in a position where you are under a lot of pressure and under a lot of stress, it's about supporting yourself the best you can. So making sure that you're eating well, making sure that you're getting enough sleep. And if there are anxiety and depression issues, to make sure that you actually go and find some help, because this is not something that you would necessarily be able to or want to be able to deal on your own. So it's finding that support and the right sort of support, really.
So it's come to that time of the afternoon when we have to wrap up the interview, sadly. So if listeners want to find out a bit more about the workshop, how do they do that, ladies?
Well, they can contact us via my email address, which is loretta@madaboutmylife.net, or they could have a look at my website, which is www.madaboutmylife.net.
Yeah, or similar, they could email me on sam.samantra@gmail.com. You can look at the Medicine Garden website, and there's courses there. But we're running the next six-week program will be in Claygate, and that'll be an evening course. And then there'll be one in the autumn, in September, which will be daytime. And we're also doing two really nice taster introductory sessions to mindful parenting on the 15th of June and the 7th of July at the Medicine Garden, I think from 10:30 to 1 o'clock.
Brilliant. So thank you very much. That was Loretta and Sam. So Loretta Cundy from madaboutmylife.co.uk and Sam Wirasinghe from Sam Mantra. And now we're going to have a short break. We'll be back to talk to Caroline Cross, owner of Omni the Salon in Walton-on-Thames. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio. In Guildford and the County of Surrey, there's a wide range of things to see, do and enjoy. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to stay, or somewhere to take the family, or perhaps you want to visit the countryside or indulge your passion for art, culture and heritage, explore bustling towns or take in a show, find a place that's romantic and peaceful. Whatever you're looking for, you'll be spoilt for choice. You'll find so many things to do. Visit Guildford.com is the place to go to plan your days and nights out. You can also book tickets, making us your one-stop shop. So go on, log on now to visitguildford.com. Great times are just a click away.
Do you need help with your Apple Mac, but you don't know where to go? Rafael is your local Apple certified support professional. He can help you with any of your Apple needs, such as setting up iCloud accounts and family sharing, Or perhaps you'd simply like to learn a few new things about your Apple Mac. Simply visit www.rafalkukla.com or call 07907 795000 today to arrange an on-site visit in the comfort of your home or office. That's 07907 795000 for Peace of Mind Apple support.
Hi, this is Roger McCormick. Please join me on Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio for Cool Connections, a show that explores the highways and byways of rock, blues, jazz, folk, soul, you name it. It's a lot of fun. So join me this Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio for Cool Connections.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy, and Ivana. Our next guest is the lovely Caroline from Omni the Salon.
Hello.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about...
Of course, I've got lots to tell you.
Yes, I think you have.
Right, well, we are a beauty salon based in Walton-on-Thames. As you quite rightly said, it's Omni the Salon, which is the same website name as well. We've been there since November, but in fact, Omni the Salon is an extension of Omni the Academy, Omni Academy of Beauty, which is... again, based in Walton. It's been established since 2008. We're an award-winning training beauty therapy academy. So we have ladies that come along, and gentlemen, I might add, had a few, who will come along and do some training in beauty therapy, whether it be an NVQ program or apprenticeship. So we do government training as well and funded courses. But November last year was the launch of our salon. So it's our first salon. And it is, in fact, an extension of the academy. So we have all sorts of beauty therapy treatments, but as well as aesthetic treatments, which is quite exciting.
So aesthetics. Now, that right. Sounds really intense. Can you explain a little bit about
it? It does sound a bit intense, and also can have sometimes have a bit of a bad connotation, mm-hmm. and people say, well, hang on a minute, you know, what are you talking about? Well, the salon, as I said, offers traditional beauty therapy treatments, but we also offer aesthetics. Now, aesthetics, beauty aesthetics, I might add. Mm-hmm. So these are treatments that are now the salons can offer. I mean, salons have changed a lot. I'm sure you're aware, Mandy, they're no longer just offering your manicures and your pedicures. You can come along and you can find they're offering your Botox and your fillers and your microdermabrasions, yeah. and things like that, and that's where you fall into the category of aesthetics. So the salon itself actually does offer a range of aesthetic treatments, so they're a little bit more advanced. The therapists that actually do these treatments should have what we call a level 4 qualification, so they're trained to the highest standard, and there's regulations around it as well, so we've got to get the correct sort of regulations, insurance and authority approval to be able to run these treatments. So we offer in that salon a range of different aesthetic treatments.
Do you have a favourite aesthetic treatment?
I do, actually. What? And one of the reasons I want to talk to you about as well, we offer something called the green pill, which is it's not a chemical pill, it's a herbal organic peel. Now, peels have always been around for a long time, and I'm sure you've heard that they can be chemical. And you've got microdermabrasion, which is a form of peel. But the green peel that I'm talking about is, in fact, a skincare company called Dr. Christine Schramm. Now, she's a German lady, and it's been around for 50 years, and it's big business in Germany, but it's out here in the UK now.
And you've got a special event.
I do indeed. I'm going to tell you about the special events. On Wednesday, the 24th of May at 6 o'clock, we've actually got a Dr. Schramm evening. So in fact, we can invite ladies and gentlemen to come along, and you'll actually find out more about it, because as I said, it's an organic peel, so it actually exfoliates the skin a little bit deeper than that, but it's from the basal layer up. So it's not from the top going down, but it's from the basal layer up. So it does all different levels. So we have something called a fresh up, which is where, as it says, it freshens the skin. It will actually give that skin that brighter feel. Particularly this time of year is fantastic, because, of course, we are coming out the winter, or at least hopefully. No signs just yet. But we are coming out of the winter, and the, you know, we're into the summer and the spring and everything else. And it gives that skin that lovely boost. But we do something called Amelia White, which is to do with pigmentation marks. It will get rid of pigmentation marks, acne scarring. It's pretty amazing, actually,
how does
Maddie.
That
pretty
work?
Amazing.
Because, like, you know, the little pigments I've got a couple of myself, and I think, well, how do you get rid of those?
Well, they actually, often it's sun damage, and you might find yourselves that often on your right side, you tend to have more pigmentation than you do on your left. And that's to do with your driving, actually, when your windows are down and you're catching the sun. So that tends to be, but it actually goes down to the basal layer, which is the germinative layer of the skin, where a lot of the pigmentation damage takes, and it helps to exfoliate and naturally shed those pigmentation marks. So that's pretty amazing.
Am I correct in assuming that on this evening you'll have the kind of that the mirror that will show where the damage is and what the
we
damage
have.
Is? Oh, that's a bit that worries me.
It is one of these things. Yeah, we have a very advanced piece of equipment which actually will really look at the skin at two different levels. So it'll look at the surface, but it will also look at the deeper layers. So we can see where the damage is, and we can advise you what the best peels to have. The green peel being the biggie, which is actually really revolutionary because it really does peel. And in fact, Mandy, if I show you a picture here, I know you can only see it in here, but that will show you the kind of level of peeling that it goes to.
Oh, my goodness.
And how many of those treatments would you need?
Well, you have one, but you can have a series of courses because it takes a while for these things to actually move through. And the image I've shown Mandy there shows obviously the lighter peel to the much, much deeper layer. Have a look,
Is this after one treatment?
It takes, what happens when you have the peel, 2 or 3 days later, you'll actually notice this peeling starting to take place. Well, I've just noticed you drop your mouth open.
I know, I'm just thinking, ouch. But
it isn't an ouch,
hurt.
Because it is organic, remember that.
Yeah.
But it actually has the most fantastic results. You know, I've been in this industry a long time. You know, I was saying earlier on that, you know, I can be a little jaded and I need to know that something works. And this is superb.
So I have to ask this question, Carolyn. After you've had that treatment, do you have to stay indoors for the next 3 weeks?
I knew you were going to ask that. No, you don't. You get given special products that are actually able to continue the process. But if you are having this peel there, there are certain aftercare advice that we guide you to.
Like, don't go out in the sun.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Big no-no anyway. Of course, if you are have 50 factor. But there are some things that you would need to follow. And it will start naturally peeling. But the skin is superb underneath. And the results
looks
are
amazing.
Does it have that luminosity then? That
it
we all
certainly does. Well, the fresh up. Oh. Well, the fresh up will, because that's exactly what that's about. I mean, the green peel will deal with your scarring as well as your anti-aging and your acne scars, which can happen, you know.
Yeah.
You may have had bad skin when you were a teenager, but sometimes those scars could still be there later in life, and they can really help to get rid of that.
I am definitely guilty of the sun damage one, because when I go on holiday, I just love to lie in the sun because I just love the feel of it on my skin.
I know that's
a big no-no, but I can't help it.
No, well, that's where the Melia White will really work for you, because that's actually working specifically on skin pigmentation damage, and it does tend to notice the older you get. So it's certainly one for it coming to have.
And hands too. Can you have it?
Yes, you can.
On your
In
hands?
Fact, the Dr. Shram, it can be done on the body.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be done on the body as well.
Carolyn, what do you think about, you know, the amount of makeup that the youngsters, I mean, my daughter, when she goes out, she has to go out with foundation, whereas, I don't know about you, but I can't remember us having as much makeup when we were younger. So do you think that they should really be giving their skin a breathing, you know, it's time to breathe occasionally?
Well, the skin continually rejuvenates itself, and it isn't so much probably the amount they're wearing, although that isn't sometimes what you want to see for your daughters. It's actually how they remove it.
Right.
That's where the damage occurs. So it's actually having sort of good education of knowing what to do. And we do teen facials. So it's about telling them what they should do and how to keep their skin improving. Because one of the things you've mentioned there, obviously they're young, and often they don't realise that starting when you're young will actually prevent when we get older. We often don't start thinking about these things until we get older. And I don't want to say it's too late, because it's never too late, but actually you probably could have done more benefits if you were younger.
One thing I was always taught when I was younger was that when you take your makeup off, you should always take it off moving towards the eye rather than away from the eye. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. That muscle around the eye is very, very fine. It's called the orbicularis oculi, thin muscle. And if you come inwards, you're actually going against gravity, and you must be very gentle.
Very gentle.
In fact, I'll give you a little tip.
Yes.
Eye cream, only as much as a grain of rice, no heavier than that, because you're putting too much on, and
clogging
in fact it
pores.
Can build up underneath. Yeah, it can cause damage.
And it causes damage. What sort of damage does
Well, it can. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that embarrassing bodies and things in the past, but sometimes if you're too heavy with your eye creams, you actually can push into the actual very soft tissue underneath, and it can collect and build up underneath, and it can give you the eye bags.
Wow.
So you need to
be doing a good thing, actually.
It's less than more. So that's why I say a grain of rice is perfect. So to your listeners out there, that's that's one to sort of remember.
Mm. One thing I was really encouraged about when I looked at your website was the man I saw on there.
Well, he was, wasn't he? He was the one that was advertising Dr. Yes. Shiramit, because this is actually saying this isn't just about women. Men come along and have these treatments, because men suffer from scarring. They also suffer from some skin damage as well, and aging. And this is what this level of different pills does. So it works, as I said, from a beginning fresh up right to the green pill, which is the much more stimulating one, and that's going to be the deeper pill, obviously, from the images I showed you.
And do you find men get a little bit embarrassed when they come to the salon, or are they quite open to it at all?
I think men are getting more kind of savvy nowadays, and the salon is particularly designed to invite men in as well as women, so it's not covered in anything pink and fluffy, I might add.
Oh, that's good.
It's very much out there for men and women to come in, and we've got a lot of male clients that come to the salon because we do lots of variety of different treatments.
I mean, think about the County of Essex. They'd have no problems going with their men to salons, but in Surrey, it's just getting there, isn't it?
Morning till night, I think.
Oh, well, let's hope, huh?
I was just going to say, actually, I think the industry for men, as far as cosmetics and care, I can't think of the word. That's terrible, isn't it?
Well, their skincare,
Skincare. Yeah. That has increased, hasn't it?
It has
enormously increased. I mean, every well-known makeup company, skincare company, they're developing and have developed men's brands.
There is. A lot of the skincare companies do have a men's range. And, you know, Shiramic is actually has a whole skincare range as well, because it's not just about the peel, it's about the continuation of it. You know, I said to you earlier on, it isn't just doing a one-hit wonder. You've got to think about the progression with it. And it's about educating clients so they understand what's going on with their skin and they can realistically see the changes. And that's for men as well. So the skincare ranges that we have at the salon, which is Dermalogica as well as Dr. Shiramic, is very much aimed at both men and women. It's, as I said, there's nothing pink and fluffy in sight, because it's for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody.
And what would you say, Caroline, are the most popular treatments for women?
Women obviously are very much into their skincare, and we have a lot of women coming here and wanting to know particularly about the anti-aging, affordable anti-aging treatments, because sometimes they can be quite unrealistic, and also about, you know, looking, as I said, more of the organic sort of approaches to skincare rather than maybe something a little bit that they're perhaps not quite so keen on. So that's obviously still a very popular treatment. Obviously we offer massage, we offer sports massage, we offer a lot of different massage therapies in the academy, as in the salon, I might add. So that actually is again very popular. We do something called a callus peel, and that's really popular with the men. So that's working on the actual heels, the peeling, you know, the very thick built-up you can get on the heels that obviously you wear your sandals and your flip-flops and you think, oh, I wish I could get rid of that. And sometimes using the scrubs or the sort of graters on there can be too aggressive. Sure. And what they will do actually is take away too much skin. And then, of course, the body will naturally build up on it even more so, because it's a protective layer. So we offer that, and that's very popular with the men, I might add.
Now, obviously, because you run the academy, do you have the opportunity for members of the public to come in and have treatments
at
a reduced rate?
We do indeed. The academy, as I said, has been around since 2008, and it's quite well established, and it's won awards, so it's been around for a while. But we do offer reduced prices for the academy to come in. But you're in a classroom situation. The girls are not qualified, and it's a slightly different approach, where obviously the salon is your commercial salon with your qualified you know, skilled therapist in there.
So if I wanted to go to the academy, because I've done this for other kind of colleges, I'm well familiar with how it works, but how would I do that? Would I go to the website and book in, or phone
you
up?
Would
or?
Well, we've got two websites, and we've got the website for the salon, which is obviously www.omnithesalon.co.uk, and we've got the academy, which is www.omnithesacademy.co.uk.
And obviously you offer a lot more treatments at your salon than you would in the academy.
We do. And also the salon, you can pick and choose and come when you want.
Sure.
But with the academy, it's very selective, because we only run them at certain times. So it's very two different sort of ways here. But we are very much about standards and regulation and qualifications, because we want to make every single client that comes into the salon to know that they're approaching, are they getting quality treatments. The girls are very skilled, and it's about education for the clients as
well. And what's nice as well is that you've got the girls in your salon that came through your academy.
They did,
nice.
Yes, they are. So the ladies that work in the salon are in fact past students of the academy. So that's really nice. So their education is constantly really ongoing. It isn't just they've trained, that's it, finished. It isn't about that, because, you know, our industry is constantly evolving and changing all the time. Sure. And hence why we're running the event with the Dr. Ceramic, because we want clients to come in and be educated and come and see what's going on. Have a look at the skin scanner. You know, scare yourself silly with what's going on underneath there. Yeah. We'll be very polite about it, I have to say.
And I have to ask quickly about the $1 billion brows.
Ah, now, have you heard of HD brows?
No.
Yes. No, you've heard of them, yes. Randy. Okay, well, these brows are a big thing.
They
are a huge thing, because brows actually, if they are kept groomed and sort of coloured or shaped correctly, they actually can be almost like a little mini facelift for you. And, you know, yeah, women don't realise that, but it makes a huge difference. Well, the $1 billion brows are, in fact, a way of actually understanding how to shape your brows correctly. You get a bit of a lesson, actually, and how to use the products to actually create those very sculpted look. Now, it's not too sculpted and too hard. It's more of a softer look, and it's actually about what's suitable for you. So, yeah, that's a really popular treatment as well in the salon.
Yeah, I might have to put myself in for that.
That sounds really good, actually. I'm really disappointed, Karen. We've reached the end of our interview now. Could you offer any pearls of wisdom for the listeners out there?
Well, I think with anything to do with skincare and everything else is consistency. So if you come and have a treatment or you actually are using skincare, you need to be consistent. Results do not happen in one day. Mm. That's what I would say. And obviously, I gave you a little tip about the eye cream as well.
Which is great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Can you just recap on your website for me?
Yes, of course. So it's www.omnithesalon.co.uk.
And your email address?
Yeah, it will be info@omnithesalon.co.uk.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Carolyn. So that was Carolyn Cross from Omni the Salon in Walton on Thames. And now we're going to have another short break, and we'll be back to talk to Melanie Whitman, author of Lama Sutra. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Enjoy a family day out at the Kempton Steam Museum and the Hampton and Kempton Waterworks Railway. The railway operates every Sunday and on Saturday the 20th of May. The Kempton Great Engine, the largest triple in the world, will be in steam on Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of May. And there will also be a display of fascinating stationary engines. Follow the brown signs to the Kempton Steam Museum and to the railway from the elevated sections of the A316. To find out more, see kemptonsteam.org or hamptonkemptonrailway.org.uk. The magic of railway on your doorstep. Every Sunday, 10:30 till 4.
I know how to avoid a soggy bottom. I know the name of cinema's most famous white shark. I know all the things you can do with a Maris Piper. And I definitely know the TV show that made this music famous. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
Our relaunched shop and post office in Church Street, Weybridge has an improved retail offer, and we provide the vital services you need from your local post office. We have 20 foreign currencies on demand and the new simple and safe travel money card that's prepaid multiple currencies on one secure card. Plus, for the last 10 years, we've been number one for travel insurance, as recognised by the UK travel industry. And for tax-free savings, we have the Premier Cash ISA. So pop in and see us at 24 to 26 Church Street, Weybridge. We are open 7 days a week, including Sundays 10 till 2. The Post Office, Weybridge. Convenience on your doorstep.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome back to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien and Mandy Dineley. Our next guest is Melanie Whitman, author of Lama Sutra. Now, before I come on to ask why that title, can I just ask a bit about your background, Melanie? What's brought you to this point?
Hi, Ivana. I'm trying to think. So I started the book, I guess, about 5 years ago, but I had taken some time out from work and was bringing up the children and decided that I was a sort of house mum but wanted something a bit different. So I went back and did a master's in creative writing, did some creative writing classes, and started sending stories off to magazines and enjoyed getting them published. And then I guess I was working more on literary short stories rather than the more commercial ones, and finally sort of put them into a collection that I then sent off to a publishing company called Ink Tears.
So what was your initial degree in?
So I did an English degree, there was a connection, but yeah. I've never written really before I had the children.
No, it's quite encouraging really, because I often get young people say to me that they want to do a creative writing degree, but they think they stand more chance of doing, say, an English degree and then doing an additional qualification, which, and obviously that kind of bears out what you just said really. So it's good that they go down that route in a way, and they can always do the postgrad or the master's in creative writing, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think... For me, when I did my BA, it was like going to the best book club in the planet, and just to be exposed and have amazing talks about all these authors that you've always enjoyed and the classics. So I would say definitely go and do your BA first, but maybe have a little module or two in creative writing.
Yeah, but even when you talk about it, you can see, can't you, her eyes just light up. I know. She's so passionate about
absolutely
it. And by the way, does she look like she's got two daughters that are at uni?
No, she doesn't.
There's no justice in the world, is there?
Oh, darn.
She's not even scruffy.
No, not even scruffy.
Yeah, that's because they're at uni now and I'm not looking after them.
That's all fair. So why the title Lama Sutra? I'm intrigued.
Yes, well, some of the stories feature animals, and the title story, Lama Sutra, I came across the idea purely by accident, actually. I'd gone for a run, as I tend to do in the mornings, tend to go for a run, and then that's where I can get my thoughts processes going. And I think for anyone, by the way, learning creative writing or trying to write, definitely physical activity gets your thought process going. But anyway, I'd come back from my run and I switched on the computer and this llama was there, and my daughter was doing a project at school, and it was on South America, and this llama was staring at me, and I tend to start stories with that notion of what if, and I thought, suppose, and it winked at me, and that's the opening line of the story, the llama winked at me. And so the llama, but the sutra, I must confess, there is a little bit of eroticism in some of the stories. There are hints of bestiality. It's all very subtle, and it's not 50 Shades of Grey at all. It's
50 Shades of Pink, maybe?
But, yes, a fluffy llama.
Oh, and actually it's been, it's a contender for the 2017 Edge Hill Prize.
Yes.
And you find out in June if you've been shortlisted, is that right?
Yeah, I was really excited about that, yeah. Exciting. Because it's for a sort of debut author, and I'm on there with Mark Haddon and Susan Hill and some really good writers, so I'm very pleased.
How exciting. What do you do when you're writing and you do get to a point and you think, I don't know what to do, I've got writer's block. What do you do to get you back into writing?
She goes up for a run with her dog.
Yeah, yeah, it is really tricky. So there's lots of little techniques. Sometimes I just go and have a drink and give up. But I would say, as Ivana says, I would go and do some exercise, anything, just that whole walking motion seems to stimulate my thought process. Sometimes I put music on. It's not great when there's lyrics, but I've got a sort of classical thing I stick on, and that helps me sometimes. A cup of coffee. But generally, it's that whole concept. You know, when you are trying to think about something, if you don't think about it and you walk away, sometimes it just comes.
That's good advice.
Do you think that creativity is stifled a bit in schools? I don't know if you've seen that TED talk with Ken Robertson.
I haven't.
Ken Robinson, actually. It's a really, really great talk, but he says that basically everyone's creative, everyone's born creative, but somewhere along the line it's kind of almost bashed out of us, like, you, because maths is more important or science is more important or deemed to be more important, but actually everyone's capable of being creative.
Yes, I think it is a shame, because certainly when my two were very small, they were really exposed to lots of stories. They were encouraged to write. But as you say, as soon as it got to exam level, when it was GCSEs and A-levels, it was much more analysis and literature and comprehension rather than that creativity, which is a shame.
Yeah.
I think it is disappointing.
Yeah. So you offer lots of different things, I noticed from your website. So tell us about some of the things that you do. You seem to be doing so many different things. So tell us about some of them.
Well, yes. So after I did the MA, I then started a PhD, and I then ended up lecturing down at Chichester University. So I teach on the BA and the MA at Chichester. But as well as that, here I live in Chert, just, you know, outside Farnham. And so I run creative writing workshops at home. And so I do kind of a day. In fact, Mandy has been to one of the days. That's how I met Mandy.
I have to say, it was absolutely, any would-be writers out there, don't mind me saying this,
no.
Absolutely, totally brilliant. Think they should come and see you.
Oh,
really, the best I've ever been on. It was brilliant.
Well, to be honest, I enjoy running them. Yeah. And the idea is I kind of think that, you know, as you were saying, Ivana, that we have so much creativity that everybody has a story in them or a book in them.
That was going to be my next question. Has everyone got a story in them?
We are exposed at such an early age to communal narratives. We're exposed to fairy tales, biblical stories. That is how we grow up. We grow up listening to stories, stories from our parents and our grandparents, and we naturally know how to tell stories. But some people, it's that difficulty of thinking, where do I start? That fear of the blank page. I'm not very good at writing. How do I structure? And that's what I do in my workshops. I give people as many different sort of trigger activities as possible. And
give us an example of a trigger activity.
So I would give you an object. And there's this kind of phrase, if you're a good writer, you defamiliarize the familiar. So you would take a very ordinary object, like a glass or like a spoon, and I make them close their eyes, and then I place that object in their hands, and I ask everyone to describe it using all the senses. And it's really strange how you look at something in totally different light when you're exposed to it in that fashion. And it also helps you if you do have writer's block, because you're forced to write the physicality of it rather than trying to think of a story. Then you start writing details, and then from there I ask them, okay, so this is incredibly important to someone. Who would it be important to? And what are the associations? So they then have to come up with a character. So if I've given them a ladle or something or a spoon, they have to really use their imagination. I mean, to be fair, I give more exciting objects than that. But generally, that will be the kind of thing we would do. And so it's teaching two aspects. One, with creative writing, it's how good you are at being able to describe things in a vivid, concrete fashion. So to paint a picture for people. Yeah. And then obviously the other side is using your imagination. And that exercise combines both those things, and by the end of the day, we hopefully, when I do a short story masterclass, and it's a 1 day course where everyone comes along, we do some lunch, wine if they want it, and then that's at the end you should have the beginnings, certainly the skeleton of a short story that you can go off and finish yourself.
And I've looked at some of the prices that you charge for your service, and they're really, really reasonable. And you even throw in lunch.
I do home cooked. I have to say as well.
I was very impressed. So bearing in mind you do so many different things, and by the way, how do you have time to go to bed and sleep is beyond me, but that aside, out of all the things you do, what do you think is your passion? I know they're all your passion, but what's your baby, do you think?
I mean, I love writing. To be honest, just to sit, at the moment I'm being bogged down by the thesis. I'm doing the kind of academic size, and I don't have as much time as I should have for writing creatively. But for me, to go for a run in the morning, come back, have my coffee, sit in front of the computer and just write, enter into this sort of fictional world and make stuff
great,
up.
Isn't it?
Fantastic.
I adore it.
Because a friend of mine used to have to, she would get up at 5 a.m. to have her 2 hours where she would write before she started her day, And I used to think, oh my God, she's got up at 5 o'clock. But to her, a bit like you, it was actually a joy and a pleasure to get up at 5 o'clock because she was doing what she loved.
Yes, it is.
And it was setting her up for the day. And how cool is that?
It is. I guess if you're an actor, it's the same kind of thing. To be able to step into someone else's skin and to become someone else and take on this personality and choose all these threads and adventures. I love it. I do. I adore it.
And you do poetry as well, don't you?
I do.
You do poetry. So Lit Live? Where?
Yes. So that's the other thing, which I started doing about 18 months ago, because I had so many people, ex-students from Chichester, and who kind of lived in Sussex but were happy to travel, plus my students who I teach at Farnham Pottery once a week, and as I said, I teach workshops at my home. They were all great writers, and yet they didn't feel confident enough to send off their work sometimes, even though I encourage everyone to do that. And so I decided to set up an evening in the local pub and to invite them to read their poetry and to read their flash fiction and short stories. And it's called Lit Live in Frensham. And I do it every 2 or 3 months. The next one is the 15th, Monday the 15th. It is totally free. You need to send me your work first if you'd like to read. And because obviously we have a limited time, it's, I say, stories under 1,000 words or some flash fiction. But even if you don't read, it's an amazing opportunity to come along and meet fellow writers and just to have fun, a glass of wine.
Oh, the wine is there again.
Yes, exactly. The Hollybush, it's a really nice pub. And it's a really good evening for you to come, meet local writers and just listen to great poetry and great short stories.
And so is this the open mic night?
Yes.
Is this what it is? Yeah. What a great title to call it, open mic night.
I know, and how often can you get together with other writers like that? I mean, that's fantastic.
And is it all sorts of genres? So for example, we've got a colleague who's a radio presenter and she does children's fiction.
Yes.
So it's for all different
Yes,
genres.
We had a lady called Lucy Courtney. She writes children's fiction and she read part of her book, the opening couple of pages of her book. So you can read part of a novel if it's going to be entertaining. Obviously, make sure you choose an entertaining bit. Yeah. That's the advice I give as well, because it's very
different.
So when
you see people snoring, you kind of know they've not hit
exactly. Them. Yes, exactly. But I'll vet them first to make sure it's something that will be engaging, because it is a different thing. Listening to someone reading out loud is very different from sitting at home with a book. Yeah. And I think, as you say, that's why it's... the balance is finding a different variety of genres and that are engaging for the audience.
Do you think that one of the biggest reasons that people don't pursue their dream of writing is the rejection thing?
Yes, it's hideous.
Funny, who wants to be rejected?
It is a killer.
It's kind of almost, you have to, don't you, in that sort of arena. It's very unlikely that the first publisher you send it to is going to say yes.
Absolutely. I mean, when I work at Chichester, we have once a year a panel of agents and publishers. And the agent, so it's, you obviously have to get to an agent before you even get to a publisher. The agent said they take on 2% of what they're sent.
Gosh.
And then that 2%, that might not even get to a publisher. That it's what the agent likes, but it doesn't necessarily go to the next step. So it is incredibly tricky. And there's not much money in it.
No, no, not now. It's all changed.
Exactly.
It's all changed because, of course, people can write their own e-books.
Yes.
And that's changed everything, hasn't it?
Or self-publish.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But of course, I don't think, I mean, talking about books, I hope you agree, books are really coming back.
Yes.
Back in again, because the Kindle took over for a while, but I don't ever want the book to go.
No, and I've never, have Kindle, and I mean, even though my book is available on Kindle, I tend to like, I like holding books. I like the physicality of holding books.
The smell.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know, it is kind of a tradition, and it's almost a ritual when you buy that new book and you smell it, as you say, and you open it and you look at the back, and yes, I adore books.
And you drop it on the beach and it gets all sand between the pages. It's just part of how it goes, isn't it?
Sun cream on, smells of coconut.
Exactly. That's the way it is.
You take it home a lot bigger than it was.
Yes,
soaked up all the atmosphere.
I've got a kind of a quote here from Tracy Fells, who's talking about your book. Said the collection had a similar effect to me. One story was never enough, and I had to keep reading. All my favourite themes are in here: fairy tales and folklore, nestling between gritty contemporary tales of love and passion, the uncanny and the quirky woven through with dark and sinister threads.
She says it so much better than me.
Isn't it great when someone says that about your work? That must be so rewarding.
She's put a lot of thought into that, hasn't she? Well, that's how it affected her. So
yeah.
That's
great. And she's great. She's a great writer, actually. So I was incredibly pleased to have got that review from her. But yes, they are. They're stories about strong characters, often strong women, but there are some male protagonists there as well. And they tend to be... people in positions of conflict, so they're quite exciting and quite edgy.
And what are you working on at the moment in terms of writing?
So I'm not writing as much creatively as I ought to, because I've got to finish my thesis, and I've been really busy at work, but I am still editing the novel that I wrote for the MA, so I've gone back to edit that, and I finish my thesis September the 1st, that's my hand-in date, and then I'll be working on my novel full-time, getting it out there.
Goodness.
So we'll watch this space.
Yes, we will, definitely. Can I ask you something? Now, this is something I've always wanted to ask a writer, and it might be a crazy question, but do you have a favourite word?
It's really, really funny that you should say that, because obviously I have written all these stories independently, and then when I put them in one volume, I did a word search, and I realised that so many words come up and phrases time and time again. And one of them was licorice.
Really?
So as for, and that's the opening line of the first story, of that Lama Sutra story, it's that it batted its licorice lashes.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
But I like the idea, if you're describing a man's rather shiny black suit, it's a bit like licorice. But clearly I like it too much, because as I was doing this word search, for somehow I had four licorices through this whole collection.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite stand out. It's quite unusual as an image.
It is,
you know,
it's an unusual
image.
Word.
What's yours then, Mandy?
Discombobulated. But it does.
Should I tell you mine?
Yes.
Chocolate.
Oh, I'm with you.
Sorry.
Or wine. I think we all agree on the wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Mandy, Melanie, I do apologise. Can I ask you, before we sort of wrap it up in the next sort of minute or so, what would you say to any young person out there whose passion is writing as well, but maybe they're not giving it a go because they're frightened of rejection or the fact that there's no money in it? What would you say to them?
I would say just write. I think it is a passion that if you have it, then you ought to follow it through. And yes, it might be that you don't find a career in writing, but you will kick yourself if you don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
look back
always,
and think, why
just,
didn't I just give it my first shot? I totally agree.
Absolutely.
With you.
And as you were saying, Yvonne, you know, you can get up at 5 and write for 2 hours. Doesn't matter what you do, you can squeeze it in somehow. Carry a notebook with you and keep writing.
What a great pearl of wisdom that was. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Thank
Brilliant.
You, Melanie. Is there any other sort of quick tips you want to offer our listeners? What would you say? Write running with the dog, or write, think about the ideas while you're running with the dog?
Yes, absolutely. And have a notebook for your dreams at night. And so you wake up in the night, just keep that notebook.
I love that.
Fantastic, fantastic. Do you have a website that you can tell the listeners, Melanie?
I do. So it is just www.melaniewhipman.com.
And an email address?
Is m.whipman@virgin.net.
Thank you so much, Melanie. That
thank
was Melanie
you.
Whitman, author of Lama Sutra, from melaniewhitman.com. And we'd like to thank all our guests on today's show. That's Loretta Cundy from madaboutmylife.co.uk, Sam Wirasinghe from Sam Mantra, Caroline Cross from the Omni Salon in Walton on the Hill, and Melanie Whitman from melaniewhitman.com. That was a mouthful. And also thanks to my lovely co-presenter, Mandy Dineley.
Oh, thank you, Ivana. And thank you to our listeners. Just to say, we're always really keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who should be on our show, then please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. And it's goodbye from me, Ivana O'Brien.
And it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dineley.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.